Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We kick off hour two of the program by welcoming the Dakota Political Junkies. Today, we have John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader, and Noel Hamill, who's member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame and a former South Dakota State Representative as well. John Hunter, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming. And Noel Hamill, welcome to you as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
All right, let's start with non-meandering waters. Today in Aberdeen, we have Regulations of Non-Meandered Waters Interim Study Committee Day 2. You can hear it live at SD.net and all the testimony that's going on there. Let's start out with a little audio clip. Yesterday we heard, you heard in a Lee Strubinger piece earlier in the news, that Karen Johnson talking about the slow death of her business because the Game Fish and Parks Department has sort of pulled those access points from some of these bodies of water. Today we've got a clip from Dari Schlotte. He's Day County Director of Equalization, and he's talking about the same topic he testified today in the part of the summer study.
Obviously, I hear everything, all the concerns, and I do have some farmland. I do have some inundated farmland. I think most of the guys that have it will tell you they don't want the water. They didn't want the water. They want their land back. You know, if the water's not theirs, get it off. They don't want it. It's here. We got to deal with it. Obviously, it's not going to get drained. We tried that. I think private's private. I think there's private property. I'm going to use my slough as an example. It was an 80-acre. It's $3 slough. It's part of a group of sloughs. When it was 4 feet deep, it was mine to control. When it was 8 feet deep, it was mine. When it was 12 feet deep, it was mine. It became 6 feet deep, touched a township road, and now it's not mine. I'm a fifth-generation farmer. I've owned it forever. I do hunting. I do upland hunting. I do all my waterfowl upland. Okay, so what happens is I am a advocate of not shooting the sloughs off, not shooting the body of water off, because you will chase them away and they will leave and you will have nothing to hunt. So if I get a allow public, if that's the case, if that's what you choose to do, all week to go out and boat and fish and chase the waterfowl off on Saturday when me and my family want to go out hunting, there's nothing left. Okay, maybe that sounds right. Doesn't sound right to me, but that's just one example. I know you guys got a big job. I'm not gonna sit here and argue with you and say what's right is right. But I think you got public meandered water. It's private owned land, but it's part of a lake, and I don't know how you would mark it. It's virtually impossible. And I sympathize with those owners, and I think that has to be to the public use. I really do. I think a clear body of water that is private owned, that was never attached to a lake, was never meandered water, clearly can see the lines. It should be up to the landowner to decide use of that body of water.
It's Dari Schlotte, Day County Director of Equalization. Today he was testifying at the Non-Meandered Waters Interim Study Committee in Aberdeen. That's continuing now on SDNet. And John Hunter, lots at play here. Businesses that are going out of business, landowners who have plenty to say, sportsmen who want compromise and to build relationships with the landowners, but also want to be able to hunt and fish in South Dakota. How long has this conversation been going on?
Well, most of it, especially in Day County, where that clip came from, started in 1993 when we had kind of excessive rains in the spring and into the summer, actually into July that year, and created these bodies of water where they kind of were sloughs before and now became deep enough then that the cattails and all those things kind of died away and they became boatable then, and so that's when it became, but as the clip emphasized, there are all sorts of, and you did too, Lori, there are all sorts of constituents who have different opinions, and frankly, I haven't ever heard an argument yet that seemed wrong.
Right.
You wouldn't think we're all seven sides of this thing, that all people kind of make sense, and these are,
right.
You know, we have kind of public waters, or are they private waters, and, you know, the only thing that really we don't control and probably shouldn't is where these things spring up. That's up to nature and all those things. But, it's a very complicated issue. I don't see any solutions that satisfy everyone, but I'm glad we're addressing it, and I hope some legislation can be passed, maybe by a special session that could help reduce some of the problems, but it is complex, and most of the sides seem to be right to me.
Hmm. Noel Hamill, the problems are occurring right now for some of those business owners, too, who could go under in a short period of time before the summer study is complete.
I am sympathetic to those business owners. You know, they're accustomed to the fishermen, and let's just call it tourism. What I think is, and I agree with what John said, you've got a multifaceted problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's. I think one of the things that we lose sight of is the cornerstone of this country, which is property rights. And if you own that land and it's being encroached on through really no fault of anybody, I am sympathetic to the landowner who loses tillable land or who loses pasture land because of the encroachment by these body of waters, and then they, you know, they don't get any benefit from it. Those waters want to be used by sportsmen. It's a thorny issue. I would guess that we will reach a compromise on this, and I know a lot of things have been mentioned, tax abatement for one. Most of the property owners I talk to really are less interested in monetary compensation than they are being able to control the property that they own.
Hmm.
I know a lot of times landowners and sportsmen are you know, in accord in this state. I mean, we all realize how important hunting and fishing are.
Right.
I mean, look at the boom in commercial hunting and CRP and all the rest. But in this case, we have a real fundamental right, property rights, which is in danger of being eroded. This has been a meandering path. There's no question about it. I know they're still talking about a special session for this, which is kind of unfortunate. I mean, this is an issue that the legislature has ducked for many, many years because of its, as you both mentioned, I mean, it's not black and white.
Right.
I think the cost of a special, I'm not sure a special session is the way to go. I mean, I don't know what it's going to cost. I know just basic costs are going to be between $30,000 and $50,000 a day to hold a special session. It does seem to me like the legislature should deal with this, you know, as an important issue in the course of normal business. By the time they hold a special session, I'm not sure, but what it wouldn't be a little bit untimely to solve the problem. So I guess I'm not sure that that's such a good idea.
John Hunter, what do you think about a special session? Does it depend on what the summer study session finds and maybe what they might recommend?
Yes, that would play a factor in it, and Governor Dugard has indicated he would be open to that idea, but I think there's advantages and disadvantages, and Noel certainly correctly pointed out the disadvantage, one being cost of doing that kind of thing. An advantage might be that it would be a session where it's kind of exclusively concentrated on that issue, whereas during the January, February, March time frame, it's tossed in with a lot of other issues. So, but it does seem out of place with the kind of the emergency intent of special sections. This has been going on for 20 plus years, and it doesn't seem like, although someone might argue that the Supreme Court ruling has caused this to be an emergency, and again, these businesses and so forth. So I don't know what the summer study will come up with, but it would be a factor in whether that, and also I think Governor Dugard would like to see an answer, you know, some sort of resolution before he even calls the session. Now, that it wouldn't be kind of an open-ended let's talk about this thing.
Right.
I think there would be some agreements already in place before it got called.
So what I've heard so far out of folks is that there are some strong opinions and some well thought out opinions. It's not getting contentious or nasty in the point that I've heard any news of bad things happening. Do you think that that's sustainable for a while?
Noel's been in the legislature. He might be able to point that out. But it does seem pretty civil so far, people are, I think, respectful of each other. And I guess my instinct says I would expect that to continue.
Yeah. No, people seem to understand that there's a legitimate opinion on either side, or as John said, all seven sides of that. Do you think that that continues as it moves to lawmakers? Do you think things start to get a little more heated?
Oh, you know, I agree with that. I think that most lawmakers would take a look at this issue and say, boy, this is thorny. We've got to try to protect landowners' rights, but at the same time, you know, if water comes onto my quarter of land and I can't farm it, what am I going to do? Put stakes and a red flag out there on my property line to keep boaters off? And there are some landowners who will advocate that. They want property rights protected at all costs. Here's the thing, though. If you come up with a law, if the legislature does act, I don't necessarily think that's the last chapter. I think there's a very good chance that you would maybe have it challenged, regardless of the legislation. Because, as you say, you have an issue that has so many sides and some pretty strong arguments on both sides. So I would contemplate the possibility of that legislation being tested, regardless of how it's written.
Agreed.
Let's segue to another complex issue with opinions on many sides, and that's the national health care debate and how it sort of, stands to impact things in South Dakota. And
John, can we let John answer that? I'm sure.
Yeah. Is that all we have to cover yet today?
John Hunter, sum it up. No, I'm just kidding. let's talk about specifically how the debate and the conversation is sort of has the potential of impacting the 2018 race for governor, John. Let's start there.
Well, and that's probably the relevant thing for South Dakota, because it is not resolved yet. But here's, as far as that race, and what we're talking really is the Republican primary between Attorney General Marty Jackley and Representative Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem has essentially gone on the record and cast votes specifically, and so her about this law, and issued press releases, spoken about it, campaigned on it. All those kinds of things are kind of on the record and available for everyone to know. So from that standpoint, I think voters 2 years from now or a year and a half from now would then know exactly where she stands. It's a little less clear exactly where Attorney General Jackley stands on this thing. He has made comments about this. He has not campaigned on that. He has not cast votes either way on this. So he has some flexibility yet to go on this issue. On the other hand, this is a moving target. It'll be different tomorrow than it is today. So, and let alone 18, well, I guess the Republican primary would be in June. So, whatever that is, 13 months from now. I would guess every month it'll be different than it was the month before. There might be a point at which they stop voting on it, but I think this is an ongoing issue. And yes, it will be part of that campaign.
Noel, what's the responsible way to cover issues like that when you sort of know, that there's someone who's going to make a run for governor, but yet, as John pointed out, they're not actively campaigning on specific topics? There's sort of these nuances or, things that come up that you can sort of, say that is a comment on that will come back in the primary. How do journalists sort of look at that and sort through it?
Well, I think you cover the news on a daily basis, and you cover what people say. And Kristi Noem, she's there. She has to vote on these matters. It's like, John said. I mean, if you're an incumbent, you have a record. Marty Jackley is in a different situation. He's kept his powder dry. I don't really think that the vote that she made today or what's said today is going to be the key factor in that race. I think for most of us, that issue is evolving every day. What most people want, and what I hear very little about, I think most people want, you know, lower premiums, and they want a shot at some decent health coverage. And most of the coverage relates to superficial issues. We don't get much, as Al Gore used to say, where's the beef? It seems to me that, and I try to watch that issue.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen. I know I'm straying a little bit from your question in terms of that race, but boy, what's going to happen between health coverage, health bills between now and that election?
Right.
I can only imagine.
Noel Hamill, you can always take the conversation wherever you choose. We'll all follow along. That's our time is short. So, Noel, I want to say thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, well, I'm always happy to be here. Thank you for asking me.
We'll see you next time. John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader, thank you as well.
I'm glad to be on with the Hall of Famer.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, we'll take
That'll
a break.
Keep coming up, Noel.
We're never going to let it drop, are we?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Laurie.